All right, we welcome everybody back on this Saturday night as we talk baseball here in the Bay Area. Joan Ryan joins us, and fans, when I say Joan Ryan, you know the name. She has been a long-time journalist in the Bay Area and, of course, now works with the Giants and helping the players understand the media. But just to read a little of the blurb about Joan, because it is wonderful, and her book is terrific. It's called Intangibles, which we will talk about. But Joan is an acclaimed journalist and author of 5 books. Her groundbreaking book, Little Girls in Pretty Boxes, was named one of the top 100 sports books of all time by Sports Illustrated. Ryan has been awarded 13 Associated Press Sports Editors Awards and the prestigious Edgar A. Poe Memorial Award from the White House Correspondents Association, among others. Joan, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Marty. It's so nice to be on the radio with you because it means that baseball at least is in the air.
There's no question. It's in the air. The question is, will it get off the ground? That's the question. And who knows? We'll see. You know, there are big decisions to be made, but if it does get going, you and I will be ready, I'll tell you that. But the book is Intangibles, Unlocking the Science and Soul of Team Chemistry. And it's team chemistry is something that we've talked about for so many years, but we could never really understand it. You've tackled a very interesting part of team sports. How did this come about? Why did you choose this?
You know, it started 10 years ago. I mean, I'm almost embarrassed to say it's taken me this long to finally get the book out. But, well, you know, I was at the 20th reunion of that great, my favorite team of all time was the 1989 Giants with Krupko and Kevin Mitchell and Will Clark. And it was just this, you know, as I call it, a junk drawer jumble of a team that all these different factions and they all came together and won the pennant and made it to the World Series. Of course, the A's swept them in that the Earthquake World Series. But as I was walking around that party tent, and I remembered these guys so well, you know, these middle-aged guys now, and, you know, I could hear it in their tone of voice, see it in their eyes that they still loved each other. There was a connection there 20 years later, and they talked about how that was the best team chemistry team they'd ever been on, and I kept hearing those two words. And on my way home, I was thinking, like, well, do I even know what it is? Does anybody even know what that actually means, team chemistry? And it kind of just took a hold on me to figure out, well, in this age of analytics, does team chemistry actually exist? Is it a thing, even if you can't measure it? And if it does exist, well, what is it? And then maybe the most important question I had was, well, how does it affect performance? Because why even talk about it if it doesn't affect performance? So I literally spent 10 years, of course, I was doing my Giants work and I wrote the book with Benji Molina in the meantime, but really studying neuroscience and evolutionary biology, organizational psychology, you know, really looking at the military, all these places where, you know, bonding among, you know, between people in groups elevated performance. And that's what took me on this incredibly fascinating journey, Marty, to connect what I had been seeing and observing and hearing about from players in the clubhouse and locker rooms and how it influenced what actually happened on the field.
Boy, it's beautiful. The book is terrific. It's Intangibles, as I say, Unlocking the Science and Soul of Team Chemistry. But Joan, it's interesting the way you do it. You go through science, which really I found very interesting, the actual physiological changes that go on within a clubhouse among people, and they see their peers and their teammates, and also the real-life examples. So not only did you have the science, but you also had the discussions with the Boston Red Sox about Johnny Gomes and things like that. So how did those two mesh? Well, what was your conclusion after putting those two together?
Well, one of the moments, you know, people kind of talk about inflection moments, and that one of those moments, and maybe the moment for me over that decade where I was trying to figure this out, was a conversation I had with Jake Peavy. And we were sitting on the balcony of his high-rise apartment. I can't remember what year it was. They were all messed together. But I was talking about the connection between team chemistry and performance. And, you know, my theory by then was that team chemistry doesn't exist unless performance is elevated, and that it is a biological construct. It's not just, you know, something in our head or something, you know, it's not a myth. And I said, but Jake TV, I don't know how team chemistry affects you, because as you know, Marty, and everybody who has watched him on the mound, you know, he is giving 100% every moment he is out there. You know, he's the snorter and the stomper, and he's yelling at himself and almost thrumming, you know, with energy, right? And I said, you're already giving 100%, Jake. You can't give more than 100%. So why does team chemistry matter to you? And he said, this is what he said. My teammates bring out a fight in me I can't willingly summon for myself. And I thought, that's it. I mean, that to me, in one sentence, captured the phenomenon of team chemistry. Now I just really had to figure out, you know, how does it play out? And you mentioned Johnny Gomes, and this has got to be, you know, one of the great examples of how completely teammates believe in each other. And Johnny Gomes, for people who don't know, was this, you know, journeyman player from Petaluma. Journeyman player, knocked around the league for 11 years, 242 lifetime average. But a pattern emerges when you look at his career. His teams won. And his teammates believed that he was one of the reasons that their team won. Now, can we quantify it? No. But look, listen to this story. He's playing on the 2013 Boston Red Sox. They're in the World Series against the Cardinals. It's before Game 4. Red Sox down 2-1 against the Cardinals. The manager of the Red Sox at the time, John Farrell, posts the lineup. And it was a, you know, pitching matchup. Johnny Gomes is not in the lineup. And he hadn't had a hit in the World Series yet, and he'd hardly had a hit in the entire postseason. But inside the clubhouse, when that lineup gets posted, Dustin Pedroia and Big Poppy and Peavy and John Lester and the whole veteran leadership group on that team talk to each other and then march into John Farrell's office. And they said, we need Johnny in the lineup. And, of course, you can imagine, John Farrell,
he knows, you know, the lineup's out on social media at this point. Everybody, you know, this is the lineup. And as you know, Marty, you don't change the lineup, especially before a World Series game, unless something pretty big has happened. And so he balked, of course. And they said, no, we play better when Johnny's in the lineup, when he's out on the field with us.
So really, it was a mutiny. You know, John Farrell had a mutiny on their hands. They believed Johnny Gomes helped them that much.
So sure enough, before the game, all of a sudden the Red Sox announced that Shane Victorino has lower back tightness and Daniel Nava is moving right field and Johnny Gomes is suddenly playing left field. And this part, I think, is total coincidence. However, it happened. Johnny Gomes hits a 3-run homer, 6th inning, and they win 4-3. And they go on to win the World Series.
Now, wow. So
I know. Isn't that amazing? And so I go to one of the neuroscientists I've been talking to, and I said, okay. His name is Josh Woolley at UCSF. I said, so Josh, now, here's the story. I tell him the story. And I said, now, what is the science behind that? Like, what's the evidence that Johnny Gomes actually made a difference? And he said, well, what do you mean? I don't understand what you mean. I said, well, like the scientific evidence. He said, why don't people believe what they see? Why don't they understand that
that is the evidence. He said, did they play better? And I said, well, yeah. He said, did they win? Well, yeah. Well, that's your evidence that there was a connection there. And so it goes to what Johnny, and then he talked about the placebo effect. And we all understand that, and, you know, tons of research has verified this, that in medicine, placebos often do work. And why do they work? Because we believe they're going to work. And that belief activates the part of your brain, let's say it's pain relief, activates that part of your brain because you believe it's going to work. That part of your brain is now activated and helps blunt the pain. And Josh Woolley says it's the same thing, that our belief has an absolute physiological effect. And you know what, Marty, I thought about it and I said, wow, why do we believe it when we believe negative things like the yips, right?
Everybody has seen somebody who has the yips, whether in golf, and we've seen it in baseball. John Lester couldn't throw the ball, you know, Steve Sack couldn't throw the ball to first base.
We believe that that is real, that our brains are keeping us from performing. But why don't we believe the converse, that our brains help to elevate our performance?
And so that story of Johnny Gomes just blew me away because I had never heard that either.
And and Johnny Gomes is the one of those guys that his teammates just feel like they play better with him around. And if you've ever, have you ever met him, Marty?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the mayor of Petaluma.
Yeah, and he has this way about him. He is so 100% committed to his teammates. He'll go watch video if somebody's having a batting slump. So he has such a big impact on motivation, getting guys ready, getting them excited. And as we know from the military, you know what, at the teams that perform the best, the military has always known this, are ones that are playing for each other. You know, it's no longer the noble purpose of God and country. When you're on that battlefield, you're just playing, you are battling for the guy next to you, because guess what? Nothing else is profound enough to keep
a soldier performing at such a high level under almost unbearable stress. And so in sports and even in business, that's what's a different version of that is playing out and helping elevate performance when you absolutely have to come through.
Boy, it's great. The book Intangibles, you can tell Joan has put a lot of time into this and there's some strong feelings. Intangibles. In the book also, Joan talks about Barry Bonds, a very interesting conclusion about him, and also about the different types of leaders that sort of make clubhouse chemistry, and goes through that as well. So, Joan, it's great. I think it's a subject that we all think about, but you actually put some science to it and also some practical observations and interviews as well. So congratulations. It's wonderful. Where does one get the book right now?
Anywhere and everywhere. Okay. So, I mean, obviously there's no bookstores open, but in the Bay Area, you know, my local bookstore is Book Passage. So I order my books and my friends order our books from Book Passage. But you can go to bookshop.org and, you know, support independent bookstores everywhere.
Good. Yeah, I was up in Montclair the other day, and David at the Book Tree up in Montclair, you can order through him, and he can get the book as well. I recommended it to him when I saw him this week.
Oh, good.
So congratulations on it. Yeah, it's been interesting. Your book and John Shea's book and Chris Haft came out, and we've got some real good local stuff, Lowell Cohn's book. We've got some really good local writers tackling some wonderful subjects to get us through these last few months. So congratulations with it, and it's a pleasure to have you on.
Thanks, Marty. And I hope, like, when the world opens up again, wouldn't it be fun to have all four of us on a panel somewhere talking about, you know, the slice of baseball and sports that we capture in each of our books? That would be a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. And each one of you has such a unique part of Bay Area sports history that it would be wonderful. So this is a good one, and it's a good subject, and you explain a tough subject very easily and with some good images and good interesting anecdotes. So that's what I like about it. So congratulations, and I look forward to seeing you at Spring Training 2.0 at some point. Let's hope so.
I'd love it, Marty. Thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Joan Ryan, the book is Intangibles, Unlocking the Science and Soul of Team Chemistry. Not an easy subject, but Joan breaks it down beautifully, as you can tell from the interview. All right, more coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.